Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
A historic moment here on the Thunder and Lightning podcast. The first time ever we will talk about anything related to Oklahoma football, as they are now, I don't know if any of our listeners know this or not, Richard Cross certainly didn't, that they are joining the SEC. Eddie Radosovich joins us now, Soonerscoop.com. That's from that On3 website I keep telling you guys about. Eddie, we'll get to the Sooners in a second. I would be remiss not to get your thoughts on Jeff Lebby, the new Mississippi State head coach, obviously coming in from Oklahoma. State needed offense. They needed somebody who could put points on the scoreboard. Do you think they got their guy?
Yeah, I think so. It was a short little period that we got to know Jeff in Norman, but certainly I think I said it best when I told you he's just a football coach. I think that you can tell that he grew up in a football family, certainly around the sport and kind of a lifeblood, really. But when it comes to, calling offensive plays and moving the football, he stepped into a really interesting situation, too, just because Lincoln Riley had left in the manner that he did to head out to Los Angeles, and Oklahoma fans have been so used to elite offenses. And probably it's one of those things that Oklahoma fans really don't realize what they're losing necessarily. I think that they still feel like things are going to go well in Norman offensively, but I always felt like I was having to stick up for a guy that averaged to be in the top seven offenses in the country, yearly, but for Oklahoma fans, that wasn't good enough. So I think it was a really good marriage. Obviously, he loves the university and Norman, having gone to school there. And, I was sad to see him go. Oklahoma fans probably out on social media would tell you otherwise, or, not a majority of them, but certainly the vocal minority. So I think it was a really good hire for Mississippi State. It's going to be interesting to see how it all kind of works out there in Starkville.
And now, of course, the Sooners headed to the SEC to join Jeff Lebby here. The term we like to use is SEC ready, going back to when A&M and Missouri joined the conference. So I'll just ask you that big picture question. How SEC ready is Oklahoma?
I mean, I think when they get, 60,000-70,000 in for the spring game here in a couple of weeks, that will be a talking point in terms of they feel like they are SEC ready. I think certainly, the way that Oklahoma's played over the last a couple seasons probably doesn't reflect that, just in terms of having to bounce back from a 6-7 season in Brent Venables' first year. But, the fervor, the passion from the fan base is certainly, I think, folks in Norman would want to tell you that it matches what you see across the SEC. And, it feels like a long time coming, and it's almost a little surreal, I think, for a lot of people that have followed Oklahoma for, certainly the last couple years, to realize that this is finally coming to fruition and it's happening here in a matter of a few months. And, obviously the football season will be a rude awakening, I think, in ways when you look at Oklahoma's schedule.
The lineage of great quarterbacks at Oklahoma over this past couple of decades has been as good as anybody in college football. And now Jackson Arnold steps into that spotlight, former five-star recruit. We got to see a little bit of him in the bowl game. He looked like you would expect a true freshman getting his first real action to look like. I thought he had showed some moments of promise. He showed some moments of being a freshman. There's no getting around that. What is the ceiling on this kid? Is there a good comp for him of the Oklahoma quarterbacks of the past?
Yeah, it's really kind of fascinating because, again, he had been committed to Oklahoma for so long out of Denton. Geyer made a really good run just a couple hours south of Norman there in the North DFW area. And he almost felt like a little bit of a legend before he arrived on campus in a way. And for a school, like you said, that has had so much success at the quarterback position, certainly here in the recent history, the modern history of college football, the expectations are through the roof, and rightfully so. I think it's kind of one of those things of which way do you want to look at it? Do you want to look at the throws that he made that you go, yep, that's the five-star that, everybody had kind of been awaiting for his arrival? Or do you look at the six turnovers and remember that he is young, and even going into this spring, he's still relatively a really, really young college football player. It's going to be interesting to see how Oklahoma navigates that. But in terms of ceiling, I think that there's a lot of people that feel like Jackson could be right there alongside the Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Sam Bradfords of the world, that, he could be the next great Oklahoma quarterback. Definitely has some skill talent around him. I think the offensive line in the first year in the SEC is going to kind of be the biggest barometer in terms of how good this offense can be. But the sky's the limit. I think that the way that he carries himself, the way that he talks to the media and, you know, does the small things that you kind of have to do, that it took about a year for Dylan Gabriel to really adjust to. He's done that flawlessly. And I think that there's a reason for excitement around the quarterback position in Norman.
The offensive line has got a lot of new faces on it coming in. Yeah. I mean, I guess I may be understating that a little bit. I think all five starters are new on this group. That's not a group where you want to have a lot of transition, especially when you're making the jump that Oklahoma is. Can that unit get up to speed in the time they have before the start of the season?
You know, and I think that is kind of the million-dollar question with Oklahoma heading into 2024, is how they're going to kind of retool this unit. They got a setback this past week with the news that Troy Everett, the projected starting center, is he's going to miss the rest of the spring. Had surgery on Wednesday on his knee. The good news is it sounds like they can get him back before the season begins, but we're probably not looking until maybe the middle of August or maybe even the end of August before he can get back out onto the field. So it's a problem. I think that anybody that follows Oklahoma football, that's the number one thing that they'll want to talk about, is the offensive line position. They have some young guys within the system that are showing promise here through the early portions of spring. But how early can those guys fill into roles that they're going to be asked to fill here moving forward? So, yeah, they got their work cut out for them. Bill Beatenbow, one of the best in the country. He's mm-hmm. been doing it in Norman for a long time, and it's kind of his job to kind of get this thing through here, kind of the rough waters through the summer and then obviously into the early portions of the season.
Oklahoma took a good jump last year defensively from Brent Venables' first year in Norman. But they still, they still had some ups and downs. We'll put it that way, And even in at the end of the season, coming up 29 to Central Florida, 38 to Kansas, 27 to Oklahoma State, so on and so forth, all the way down to the bowl game where they gave up 38 to Arizona. What is this defense going to look like this year for Brent Venables, and what's the strength of that unit?
Yeah, I would say, to just put it most simply, it's night and day different from what he inherited when Brent came in 3 years ago. We talked to him on Tuesday about it, just how drastically different from a depth perspective Oklahoma is going to be. And then, they have a unique kind of circumstance with Zach Alley coming in. It's a pretty comfortable situation as he inherits a defense that brings guys back at every level. And I think that just most simply, they're probably going to be, on paper, they're going to be the best defense Oklahoma's put on the field in maybe a decade. The bar defensively has been rather low. I think anybody that follows the sport knows here since the Lincoln Riley days, they've had to kind of rebuild that unit. They got Danny Stutzman back. They got Billy Bowman back. They got DJ Terry back. They got Woody Washington coming back for a fifth year. They have returners all over the defense. And I think that, it kind of starts with that linebacker group led by Danny Stutzman, who I think a lot of people figured to get into the Buckus, conversation by year's end. They should be pretty good. I think that there's a feeling around Norman that thing is headed in the right direction. And when you see some of the young guys that they have on the defensive side of the ball that could, end up being day one contributors, I think that, if Jackson goes through the type of year that the ups and downs that a freshman is expected to have in his first full year starting in the SEC, you're going to have to lean on the defense, and they're going to have to be the difference makers in a couple of these games, especially tight games in the fourth quarter. So there's a lot of excitement and certainly a lot of reason for excitement with the returners.
This is year one in the SEC. What does success look like for Oklahoma? I mean, traditionally success for Oklahoma is contending for the national championship, that year in and year out. What does year one in the SEC need to look like for Oklahoma fans to feel good about the direction they're headed?
It kind of goes back to your first question about the SEC ready factor. And I think that the expectations certainly aren't going to change, even with the tougher schedule and the tougher task of wading through the waters of the SEC, being in contention for a national championship, getting into the SEC conference championship conversation is always going to kind of be the barometer on where Oklahoma fans see this program. But at the same time, I think there has to be a little bit of a realistic, look at it. And I think that if they could get to 9 or 10 wins this season, that would be phenomenal for the first year. Maybe that backdoors you into a 12-team playoff conversation. And if that were the case, it would be a phenomenal first season or first season in the SEC. And more importantly, I think for Brent Venables, who they did improve in areas last year. I think that Oklahoma fans probably didn't recognize it enough, just in terms of how bad that first season went, finishing 6-7. But there were, I think certainly areas that were reminiscent of that first year. So, I think that it's a tough conversation to have, especially at this time of the year. But there's trajectory that this thing is headed in the right direction. I think that they just need to be able to avoid any missteps that were to come their way. You got to, certainly take care of business at home. And I think that if they could, again, get to 9 or 10 wins, that would be a phenomenal first year, in the SEC. And you kind of see where things lie at the end of the season.
What's the game for Oklahoma fans this year or maybe in the future when they look at that SEC schedule that they are the most excited about going to that stadium?
Ooh, that's such a good question because, there's so many of these places that that Oklahoma fans simply haven't been.
Yeah.
I think this year the trip to Baton Rouge is going to be exciting. I think for personal reasons, getting to Oxford is going to be pretty fun. Sorry, I don't know if I should say that here with
my eye just twitched involuntarily. But
I've told Zach Selman I need to get down to Starkville. I'm excited to see all of it. If you pay attention to the social media, obviously Texas is always going to be the situation for Oklahoma fans. That's a different kind of conversation with the Dallas and the state fair, all the stuff that goes into it. Missouri, for some reason, has been kind of an Oklahoma, I think, Twitter fan base rivalry that makes for that to be certainly a situation with the way that Caden Green ended up in Columbia. Yeah. Here, they've gone head to head in recruiting battles dating back all the way into the Big Eight. So, that's going to be a lot of fun this year, but I'd kind of look at the Baton Rouge experience. And then obviously, with Alabama coming to Norman and Tennessee coming to Norman, with the Josh Heupel connection, those are certainly games that, I think will get people talking. Overall, though, I mean, you look at Oklahoma's home schedule, and I think the SEC has a whole lot of to do with it, but it's good. It's the best home schedule Oklahoma's had in at least a decade, maybe more.
You ever been to Baton Rouge for a game?
Haven't been to down there for a game. Been through multiple times. Had to go, see the tiger in the cage and all that kind of stuff on the way to New Orleans. But haven't been down there. I'm excited for it.
Buckle up.
I think that's probably the best advice to take. And fingers crossed. Oklahoma fans have been they would tell you screwed over by the 11 a.m. kickoff. Mm-hmm. I think that Oklahoma fans are excited just to get out of the 11 a.m. window.
Yeah, the other side of that is LSU, who never gets an 11 a.m.
That's right.
And we'll raise five shades of hell if you try to give them one. So I would also caution you, if you go down to Baton Rouge, if you're not on Lipitor already for your cholesterol, go ahead and just crush up a couple on your Frosted Flakes before you get out the door. So.
No doubt. I think it's an exciting time to, obviously be kind of covering position. It's been a long time coming, all the way going back to when Britt Zernowin broke the news. It's like almost a decade ago.
So I'll tell you that we were at Media Days when that happened, and my co-host on Sports Talk Mississippi, Richard Cross, was interviewing Billy Lucci from Texas right when it happened. And he was doing the interview, so I'm just sort of sitting there looking at my computer, and my eyes get big, and I look at him, and I look at Lucci, of course, the Texas A&M guy, and I'm like, oh God, I can't wait for this interview to be over with. And then I look down the way, Greg Sankey is on with like Matt Moscona or somebody.
Yeah.
And just this line of reporters going to talk to him, just standing around waiting for him to finish that interview so that he could say no comment. It was incredible. So
absolutely unreal. It was, and certainly during that time period, it was kind of one of those, you got to check it like four times to make sure that you're not.
Yeah. Yeah, I was making sure I wasn't getting ball sacked, I believe is the
term. Exactly.
So, Eddie, great to talk to you, man. We'll look forward to seeing you at Media Days, and we'll have you on with us again then. And welcome to the SEC, Eddie Radosovic, Soonerscoop.com. We appreciate you, man.
Absolutely. Anytime, and looking forward to it here with the move and everything that's to come. It's going to be an exciting time. Anytime. And looking forward to Big 12 Media Day. I'm just so stuck into it. SEC Media Days back in kind of our backyard and our turf down in the DFW.
Sounds good.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.